Suddenly, you seemed to be everywhere. You shone out like a beacon, so you did. As for the fire, look around.
In the half-light of dawn, the plateau was a mass of baked clay. In front of Esk, the cliff was glassy and must have flowed like tar under the onslaught. There were great gashes across it, which had dripped molten rock and slag. When Esk listened, she could hear the faint pink, pink of cooling rock.
"Ooh," she said. "Did I do that?"
"So it would appear," said Granny.
"But I was asleep. I was only dreaming."
"It's the magic," said Granny. "It's trying to find a way out. The witch magic and the wizard magic are, I don't know, sort of feeding off each other, I think."
Esk bit her lip.
"What can I do?" she asked. "I dream all sorts of things."
"Well, for a start, we're going straight to the university," decided Granny. "They must be used to apprentices not being able to control magic and having hot dreams, else the place would have burned down years ago."
She glanced towards the rim and then down at the broomstick beside her. We will pass over the running up and down, the tightening of the broomstick's binding, the muttered curses against dwarves, the brief moments of hope as the magic flickered fitfully, the horrible black feelings as it died, the tightening of the bindings again, the running again, the sudden catching of the spell, the scrambling aboard, the yelling, the taking off. Esk clung to Granny with one hand and held her staff in the other as they, frankly, pottered along a few hundred feet above the ground. And birds flew alongside them, interested in this new flying tree.
"Bagger off!"
screamed Granny, taking off her hat and flapping it.
"We're not going very fast, Granny," said Esk meekly.
"We're going quite fast enough for me."
Esk looked around. Behind them, the rim was a blaze of gold, barred with cloud.
"I think we ought to go lower, Granny," she said urgently. "You said the broomstick won't fly in sunlight."
She glanced down at the landscape below them. It looked sharp and inhospitable. It also looked expectant.
"I know what I'm doing, miss,"
snapped Granny, gripping the broomstick hard and trying to make herself as light as possible. It has already been revealed that light on the disk world travels slowly, the result of its passage through the disk's vast and ancient magical field. So dawn isn't the sudden affair that it is on other worlds. The new day doesn't erupt. It sort of sloshes gently across the sleeping landscape in the same way that the tide sneaks in across the beach, melting the sandcastles of the night. It tends to flow around mountains. If the trees are close together, it comes out of the woods, cut to ribbons and sliced with shadows. An observer on some suitable high point, let's say for the sake of argument, a wisp of cirrostratus on the edge of space, would remark on how lovingly the light spreads across the land, how it leaps forward on the plains and slows down when it encounters high ground, how beautifully it... Actually, there are some kinds of observers who, faced with all this beauty, will whine that you can't have heavy light, and certainly wouldn't be able to see it if you could. To which one can only reply, "So how come you're standing on a cloud?" So much for cynicism. But down on the disk itself, the broomstick barreled forward on the cusp of dawn, dropping ever backward in the shadow of night.
"Granny!"
Day burst upon them. Ahead of the broomstick, the rocks seemed to flash into flame as the light washed over them. Granny felt the stick lurch and stared with horrified fascination at the little scudding shadow below them. It was getting closer.
"What will happen when we hit the ground?"
"That depends if I can find some soft rocks," said Granny in a preoccupied voice.
"The broomstick's going to crash. Can't we do anything?"
"Well, I suppose we could get off."
"Granny!"
said Esk, in the exasperated and remarkably adult voice children use to berate their wayward elders.
"I don't think you quite understand. I don't want to hit the ground. It's never done anything to me."
Granny was trying to think of a suitable spell and regretting that headology didn't work on rocks. And had she detected the diamond edge to Esk's tone, perhaps she wouldn't have said,